past few days we've been talking about the Tefillah of Nachem, and today we get to the thrilling conclusion. One of the things that we've been mentioning is that Nachem appears in, or is recited in, according to us, against Yerushalmi, in the bracha of Bonei Yerushalayim. Not in the bracha of Avodah, because it's not about Avodas HaMikdash, it's about Yerushalayim, which begs the question. If it's all about the destruction of Yerushalayim, and how sad we are with the destruction of Yerushalayim, and lamenting its terrible destruction and the state of desolation of Yerushalayim, it doesn't really seem to conform to reality. If you look at Yerushalayim today, there are yeshivos, there are restaurants, there are hotels, there are streets and indoor plumbing, and you know, there's a lot of wonderful things going on in Yerushalayim. So how can we still say the Tefillah of Nachem, or should we still say the Tefillah of Nachem, considering that it doesn't seem to be relevant anymore? Now, the first person I'm aware of that asked this question is the author of Torah Tmima, and that is an important point, that it was the author of the Torah Tmima, because the author of the Torah Tmima, anyone know when he lived? What? Early 1900s, pre-1967, pre-1948. Now, pre-1948, what exactly was the status of the Kotel HaMa'arvi? Did the Jewish people have access to the Kotel? Yes, we did have access to the Kotel. It didn't look like it does today, right? The Kotel was not; it didn't have a massive Kotel plaza where thousands of people can go, right? It certainly didn't have that. In fact, if any of you have ever been to the Bialystoker Shul in the Lower East Side, which is like a shul, it's 150 years old, and Rabbi Tzvi Ram is the rabbi of the shul. When I spoke there, he gave me a tour of the shul. So he showed me in the main sanctuary, there's like a mural on top of the right side of the Ezra's Nashim of the Kotel. And the Kotel doesn't look anything like the Kotel looks, I mean, the wall itself is the wall, but then the area in front of the wall is like 3 feet. And then there's like other stuff behind there, and it's not like this open area, because the shul is 150 years old and they made that mural like 100 years ago, and that's what the Kotel looked like, that's what it was. So interestingly, prior to Jewish control over the Medina, prior to Yerushalayim being what we know it to be today, the author of Baruch Sha'amar, the author of the Torah Tamima, raised the question, how can we still say Nachem? Nachem doesn't make any sense anymore. Yerushalayim is fantastic. It's magnificent. Why would we still say Nachem? Now, just a little bit about the author. What do we know about this author? What's he most famous for? The author of Torah Tmima? Well, he's probably most famous for being the author of Torah Tmima. What's he second most famous for? He is the son of a very important scholar, the Aruch HaShulchan. This is Rav Baruch Epstein, the son of Rav Yechiel Michal Epstein. What's he third most famous for? He's the nephew of a very important scholar, the Netziv. And he wrote a 4-volume autobiography called Makar Baruch. Rav Shechter used to quote Makar Baruch all the time. I remember I once asked him a follow-up question on something that he had quoted from Makar Baruch, and he said, I don't really remember. I haven't seen the book since high school. He used to quote it all the time. He hadn't seen it since he was in high school. He said when he had a free period, he used to go to the library and read the Makar Baruch when he had a free period in high school. So he said that he hadn't seen it since that time. He said, who has time for 4-volume autobiographies? It's not exactly an autobiography. If you read the Makar Baruch, it's more of a, you know, his describing his various experiences with different Gedolim, with the Gedolei Israel, different Divrei Torah that, you know, he came up with that relate to stories in his life. It's not like Stam, you know, my favorite color is blue, and my mommy treated me this way, and whatever, like, it's not. But it became a famous sefer when about 20-something years ago, they did an English condensed version of it, taking only the stories that relate to him and his uncle, the Netziv, and they called it My Uncle, the Netziv. So My Uncle, the Netziv, shortly after it was released, was banned. It was put in cherem because it said scandalous things in it, like the fact that his aunt, the Netziv's wife, used to learn Torah, and that... the Netziv sometimes read the Yiddish newspapers, you know, like horrible, scandalous things. So they absolutely banned the book, which means that now it's more expensive. Because if it's banned, it's obviously in higher demand and, you know, lower supply, because the publisher won't publish it anymore. But it's, you know, so I've read it, it didn't seem so scandalous to me. So he wrote that book, and he's fourth most famous for his other book, or maybe even fifth most famous, probably fourth most famous for Tosefes Bracha, which is his Sefer on Chumash, and fifth most famous for his Perush on the Siddur, which is called Baruch Sha'amar. He wrote a Perush on the Siddur and on Pirkei Avos called Baruch Sha'amar. In the Sefer Baruch Sha'amar, the thing he's fifth most famous for, he asks the question. He says, Ha'ir ha'avela v'achareva v'ashomema, all of these descriptions we have of Jerusalem in Nachim, Yadua, da'atorima e'la musabim ala ir Yerushalayim, these descriptions are supposed to be descriptions of Jerusalem. V'yesh la'her, ki achri shebizman hazeh Yerushalayim benuya barama im batei chemet v'hechalei pe'er. Yerushalayim is magnificent now. There are all these beautiful buildings there. V'gam yushevis miyuhudim ba'amon, there are tons of Jews in Yerushalayim. Lefiza l'chara ein makom l'tare evel aleha. I don't understand how we could describe it with a language of avelus. Now, I understand if this were about the Mikdash, but it's not. Nachim is in the bracha of Bonei Yerushalayim. It's about Yerushalayim. It's not about the Mikdash. So the Mikdash is not rebuilt. There is Korban, but as far as Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim is there. This was the question he asks in the 1920s. What's the answer to this question in the 1920s? Why do we still say Nachim in the 1920s? There are Jews and we have access to the Kotel. You know, we only lost access from 1948 to 1967, right, when the Jordanians took over. But what's the answer in 1925? Yeah. Yes, we could be there, but under whose control, under whose auspices? There's no Jewish control of the area. And he writes that Gam be'ishem yusheva se'ir v'amedina me'yehudim, even when there are Jews there, ach kol zman shem tachas memshelas acheres, if they're under the control of some other government, lo tachas malchus Yisrael, not under Jewish control, adayin yikru charevim, it's still called destroyed. And all of the halachas that relate to a destroyed Yerushalayim relate to Yerushalayim under non-Jewish authority. What other halachas relate to a destroyed Yerushalayim? Tear Kriya. Right, we know we tear Kriya. Most of us probably know that we tear Kriya when we go to the Kotel. Why? Not because of Yerushalayim. We're tearing Kriya because of the Mikdash. You're tearing Kriya because you go through Shar Yafo and you walk through the Rova and the, you know, past Yeshivat HaKotel, and you get down to that area right before you get to the steps that go all the way to the metal detectors, and you're standing in that like square, and the menorah is over there on the left side, right? And you look at the Har HaBayis and you see a dome. That's where you tear Kriya, because you tear in Kriya over the Makom HaMikdash. But the halacha says that you tear Kriya over Yerushalayim also. Why don't we do that? Okay, but it says the Torah Tamima, we should, when the non-Jews are in control of Yerushalayim. All the halachas of Yerushalayim, b'churbana, still apply, because there's no Jewish control. In fact, this similar idea was suggested by the author of the Sefer Megillas Esther, not to be confused with the actual Megillas Esther. There's a sefer called Megillas Esther. You know, it's common when you write a sefer, it's a thing to do, to either mention or be merames to your own name in the title of the sefer. Rav Shechter wrote a sefer, and he called it Eretz HaTzvi, right? Because his name is Tzvi, right? So it's a very common thing to do. Rav Avadia Yosef, all of his svarim, all of them, Yabi Omer, Yechav Adas, all of his svarim are somehow an allusion to his name. Either a Rashi Tevis, a Gematria, somehow allude to his name. That's the minhag, that's what you do. So it's a little strange. Who wrote the Sefer Megillas Esther? So Shachter always points out, every time he quotes Megillas Esther, it was not written by a person named Esther. It was written by a man. What? No, not in Mordechai. It was written by a man, but when he was going to print, when he was going to bring the Sefer to print, his mother died. So he dedicated it to his mother, and he called it after her, Megillas Esther. So instead of using his own name, he used his mother's name. Every once in a while you'll find something like that, that someone will not put their own name in the Sefer, but they'll put their father's name in the Sefer. So this is a unique one, puts a mother's name in the Sefer. Megillas Esther is probably most well known for a single comment that the Satmar Rebbe latched onto and made very famous. See, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvot, well, the Megillas Esther's goal is to defend the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvot from all of the attacks of the Ramban. Because the Ramban was really good at attacking. Meaning, when the Ramban thought that you were wrong about something, as my friend Rabbi Yehuda Balzman likes to say, he doesn't think you're against one Gemara in Shas, he thinks you're against every Gemara in Shas. You know, like he shakes out every Maramakum to show that you're absolutely wrong about everything. So the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah that we just read in this past week's parasha, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, in the Minyan HaMitzvah. So he didn't count it as a mitzvah. So everyone tries to figure out, why in the world would he forget that mitzvah? Such an important mitzvah. So some suggest, too important. It can't be limited to just one mitzvah. It's so many different things. Truma, Meisr, and Shemitah, like there's so many mitzvahs that like some Rishonim don't count Emunah B'Hashem as a mitzvah. Because it's too big. It can't be a mitzvah. You can't limit it to just call it a mitzvah. It's the context within which all mitzvahs can be. If you don't believe in God, there's no such thing as a mitzvah, right? So Eretz Yisrael may be too big to be a mitzvah. Okay, something like that. Or you could say other suggestions. It's an extra mitzvah for all the mitzvahs of Tliyas Bo. It's whatever it is. Somehow, but the Megillas Esther said, no, you know why he doesn't count it? Because it's not true. Not a mitzvah b'zman hazeh. When we don't have Jewish control and Beis HaMikdash v'chulei, there is no mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So this was made famous by the Satmar Rebbe. The Satmar Rebbe was very into this Megillas Esther. The Megillas Esther, in that comment, writes that when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, even those who live in Eretz Yisrael are not called Yoshvei Ha'aretz. They're not considered to be, look at that, we have a Satmar here. They're not called to be Yoshvei Ha'aretz. It's cute how you did that in blue and white. They're not considered to be Yoshvei Ha'aretz. They're not considered to be Yoshvei Ha'aretz. Why not? Because they're not under Jewish control. They're under the control of a foreign malchus. And that's not Yishuv, that's Gerus B'Yalma. And you're not Mekayim Mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk says V'yashavtem Ba. And that's not a fulfillment of V'yashavtem Ba. Wow. Okay, so that's great. As far as the Torah Tmima was concerned. In 1925, he had a very good answer why you don't say Nachim. 1967 came, and the Ribbono Shel did a tremendous miracle for the Jewish people. If you're not familiar with how big a miracle it was, read stuff from people who were writing at that time before they knew how it would end. People who kept journals as it was going on. This is available. Or listen to people describing what the mood was like, how 20 years after a Holocaust, just over 20 years after a Holocaust, after 6 million were lost, there were many people that believed that the most realistic outcome was going to be another million or 2 million or 3 million killed. What that would have done to the Jewish people, you know, we can't even imagine. That's what the feeling was in April of 1967, and the way that it turned out, a complete vinahapachu, an incredible miracle of the Ribbono Shel Olam that cannot be described in any other way than a miracle. And now all of a sudden, the Jewish people have control of Yerushalayim, the Makomos HaKadoshim. We now have a massive Kotel Plaza where thousands of people go to daven. You turn around if you don't walk away from the Kotel, you know, with your face to the Kotel, you turn your back to the Kotel for a minute, and you just look what's behind you, and what do you see? There's Netziv Aryeh, there's Yeshiva HaKotel, there's Eish HaTorah, there's a Kabbalah Yeshiva, there's a whatever. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Does it still make sense to say Nachim? You know, we're describing, when you read the description of Nachim, you would imagine it's like a heap of ashes with like some smoke coming up from it. That's not what Yerushalayim looks like anymore. Not at all. So, but it's worse than that. Okay, you know, so sometimes we say things in Shemona Esrei, maybe we don't relate to it so much. I don't know who these Malshinim are that we're really angry at, but I don't have any beef with anybody, you know, like, okay, so maybe we don't relate to it so much. You know? But it's worse than that over here. It's worse than that over here. Why is it worse? It's not just stam that we don't relate to it. So we're saying something that doesn't relate so much. Why is it worse? It's sheker. You're not allowed to lie. And particularly in your tefillos, you're not allowed to lie. And I have several rayas for that. The Shulchan Aruch writes in some Tavkuf Samachesiv Gimel. Yesh Omrim, we discussed this the other day. She'ein hayachid omer anenu a yachid cannot say aneinu kiyum b'mincha, except for mincha time. Why not? Shem yachzenu bulmos, he may be seized by some sort of hunger disease, and he's going to have to eat v'nimtza shakran b'tfilasa. And it turns out, he's a liar. He said it was a fast day, it turned out he didn't fast. So what do? We don't say aneinu, because you can't lie. Magid Avraham, Tafresh Chaf Gimel Sivkat Nalif. At the time of Ni'ilah, the Mechaber says, you should say Ni'ilah, Samach L'Shkiyas HaChama, says Magid Avraham, our minig is we end Ni'ilah well after dark. But he says, even if you're going to end Ni'ilah well after dark, you have to start Ba'od Hayom Gadol. You have to start Ni'ilah while it's still light outside, and also say the Pizmon, the Charuz, Ba'ayom Yifne, that as the day, Ke'ayom Yifne, as the day is leaving, that we're saying this tefillah, you have to say that at the beginning before the day leaves. Why? Because if the day is already over, how can you say as the day leaves? The day has already left. It's too late to say as the day leaves. Again, what do you see very, very clearly? You're not allowed to lie when you daven. So, the question came up, and a few people were very bothered by this in 1967. The person who understandably was most bothered by Tefillah of Nachim in 1967, Rav Gorin. Rav Gorin was a complicated historical figure. When I wrote this piece for my second Sefer about Nachim, so I sent it to a guy who helps me edit, is a Haredi guy, helps me, you know, who does the editing for me, and he sent back to me, I quote from the Sefer, Trumas HaGorin, which is Rav Gorin's Sefer. And he sent back to me, I'm not telling you what to do, but if you ever want any Haredi person to ever pick up your Sefer and not like burn it, you better take that citation out. Like he was that controversial of a figure. He said that the lashon he used is, in the Haredi world it will become muktzah machmas mius. If you have any citation, Rav Gorin was a complicated figure. So anyway, Rav Gorin made a big stink about this, but you understand why Rav Gorin would feel very emotional about this, right? Why would Rav Gorin feel very emotional about this? No? What? He was the one when they got to the Kotel. He was the one coming down in the jeep to the Kotel, and you know, with all the pictures of all the chayalim that liberated the Kotel, so to speak, you know, crying and, you know, never not even from and putting on tefillin and whatever, and he's blowing the shofar, and he's like, that moment, to live through a moment like that and then turn around. You speak to people who are in Israel for Tisha B'Av in 1967. Tisha B'Av was like a Yom Tov in 1967. They couldn't get themselves into the mindset of Avelus. It was impossible for them to feel Avelus. So Rav Gorin said, how do you say Nachim? It happens to be, Rav Shechter writes in Nefesh HaRav that, I don't know if he's talking about Rav Gorin or somebody else, but he said that there was a rabbi who wanted to change Nachim, who was very into changing things. So when man landed on the moon for the first time, he also wanted to change Kiddush Levana. Why? Because in Kiddush Levana we say Kshem Shani Roket Kineg Deich Ve'eni Yachol in Go'abach, I can't touch you, moon. So he wanted to change it. Ve'eni Nogeabach, I am not currently touching you. You know, but I could if I were to get. So he wanted to change the Nesach of Kiddush Levana. So they asked him Salvechik what he thought. And he took the guy, whoever it was, they had advertisements in the Boston newspapers, the Jewish newspapers, that they want to change the sort of Salvechik says, it's ridiculous. It's not going to be. Ain't Yachol in Goabach, when you're standing outside of your shul in Boston, you're not going to be able to touch the moon. You need to go to Houston and take whatever. Right? I said, right? That's where the Kennedy Space Center is, Houston, right? And you get into a rocket or whatever. And then, so he didn't want to. He said, you know, the guy's just looking for publicity. I don't know if it's about Rav Gorin or somebody else, but whatever. Okay. But that's not really an answer to our question. So by the moon, I get it. You can't touch it. While you're standing on the ground, you can't touch the moon. And that's still true. How is any part of Nachim still true? So I found four basic approaches in Sfarim. One approach I saw quoted from Rav Salvechik in the Masora Journal, and also I saw in much more Harchava, a much broader description in Rav Avadya Yosef's Yechavadat Chelek Aleph Simen Mem Gimel, where Rav Avadya essentially says, you think the tefillos are just like the simple translation of the words? You know, when people ask me sometimes, I don't know what the words mean. I don't understand the words of the tefillah. So is the answer just daven in English? So the answer might be in the short term, daven in English, but that's not a plan for the future. Because you lose all the depth if you're just davening in English. These tefillahs were written, I mean, what's the real answer? Slowly but surely, paragraph by paragraph, learn what they mean. So take a paragraph a week, you'll be surprised how quickly it builds on itself, and you'll know what all of Shemoneh Esrei means. But do it in Hebrew. Because these tefillahs were instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. And, you know, to quote the way Rav Avadia Yosef says it, even though I don't really know exactly what this means, he says, Shaliyos v'kol os v'os minusach habrachos sog shasu b'yichud v'zivug midos ha'elyonos. That's something Kabbalistic. I don't know what that means. But something about how every letter somehow has some sort of effect in Shemayim. So it's not just the simple translation. So if we have a tefillah from Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, you stick with the tefillah from Anshei Knesset HaGedolah until you don't. Meaning until the Geula happens. And we can't go messing around with the tefillahs. Soloveitchik felt this way also. And that's why the tefillahs that are said in probably the shul of 99% of Rav Soloveitchik's own Talmidim and Grand Talmidim, meaning Talmidim's Talmidim, including my own shul, Rav Soloveitchik goes, yeah, which tefillahs am I talking about? The tefillah for the Medina and for Chayel Tzah. What? Rav Soloveitchik didn't believe in Shlomo Medina, he didn't want the protection of Chayel, he did, but he didn't think we had the capacity to formulate new tefillahs. It's not a simple thing to formulate a new tefillah. So you can't just have any guy. What's the raya that it's not a simple thing? Rav Avadia Yosef quotes the famous Gemara Brachos Chav Chesem Beis. Amalan Rav Gamliel Azakin Lechachamim. Rav Gamliel Azakin said to Lechachamim, Klum yesh bechem adam sheyodeh lesakin birchas haminim? Does anyone know how to write a bracha for the birchas haminim? The bracha of Amalshinim? Shmuel HaKatan was the one who got up, and he's the one that was misakin the bracha. Says Rav Avadia Yosef, if I was in the room, and Gamliel Azakin says, does anyone know how to write a paragraph in Hebrew about these guys? I would say, I think you know Hebrew. I think all of us know Hebrew. What's the big deal? You know, my daughter in fourth grade had to write a Hebrew composition. She managed. One paragraph, no big deal. Elamai, it is a big deal, because it's not just writing a paragraph in Hebrew. There's some depth here that we can't even comprehend. Another possibility is that when we're saying Yerushalayim is destroyed, and this is something we've discussed already in the previous Yerim, there's Tzvei Dinim in Yerushalayim. There's two Dinim in Yerushalayim. There's Yerushalayim Midin Yerushalayim, and there's Yerushalayim Midin Hemshech of the Mikdash, an extension of the Mikdash. When we're saying Yerushalayim is destroyed, yeah, Yerushalayim as far as Yerushalayim is still there. But Yerushalayim as far as Hemshech of the Mikdash is not there. You know, the Mishnah in Kelim, I think we discussed the other day, Eser Madregos, Eser Kedushos, right? Kodesh HaKadoshim, Bein Abadim, Kodesh HaKadoshim, not Bein Abadim, the Heichal, v'chulei v'chulei, the Harabais, Yerushalayim. And it goes through, the Mishnah goes through, what the nafkamina of each level of Kedusha is, right? So what does the Mishnah say? What makes Yerushalayim holy? Shemevi'in mimeno omer v'shtei alechem. Why not... I'm sorry, what makes Eretz Yisrael holy? That the Omer and the Shtei Alechem have to come from Eretz Yisrael. Why not Trumos, Maestros, Shemitah, Yovel? So, Soloveitchik explained, because that Mishnah is not just focused on different milos that these places have. It's focused on the Kedusha that each place has as a function of Migdash. So when you want to describe the Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, you're right, Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, as far as Eretz Yisrael is concerned, Trumos, Maestros, Yovel, all that. But as a function of Migdash, the Omer and Shtei Alechem have to come from Eretz Yisrael. Because Omer and Shtei Alechem are Karbanos. That's a Migdash thing. Similarly, says Rav Soloveitchik, when we're talking about Yerushalayim b'Churbana, it's b'Churbana as long as there's no Migdash, because we don't have Yerushalayim in all of its glory until there is a Migdash. According to the Rambam, Kedushas Yerushalayim is Kedushas Mikdash. Rambam writes this in Perashat Mishnayos in Rosh Hashanah, that Yom Tov Shor Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yos B'Shabbos B'Mikdash HaYitokin Avalo B'Medina. Ram says Mikdash means, the word Mikdash means all of Yerushalayim. So you see, there's this direct connection. It actually has enough Kamina La'alacha. Ram would hold that since Kedushas Mikdash is still there, and Kedushas Mikdash means Kedushas Yerushalayim, the halacha is in the Mikdash you take lulav for all 7 days. Midar Raisa. We only take lulav for 7 days, Midar Rabbana. Right? So the Rambam would hold, Bizman Hazeh, in the old city of Yerushalayim, lulav is Dor Raisa for 7 days. Which means that if you take lulav in Rechavia, on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, and then you go to the old city, you should take lulav again. Because in Rechavia, you were only Yotzei lulav Midar Rabbana. Now you have lulav Midar Raisa. I mean, the Rambam holds, Yerushalayim is Mikdash, Mikdash is Yerushalayim. They're very, very much connected. So that's the second approach to why it is. A third approach, we're not going to get through all of them, we have to stop. Third approach is basically that there's still a spiritual Chorban in Yerushalayim. Even though there are lots of yeshivas, but there's also a lot of stuff going on that we're not so proud of. Rav Sternbach writes this, Rav Vadi writes this as well. Now, Rav Sternbach, you understand, his Zionist credentials aren't exactly top-notch. You know, Rav Sternbach flew to America a couple of weeks ago for the Israeli Day Parade. On the day of the Israeli Day Parade, the Satmar Hasidim, Yor Chevra, had a big gathering in Nassau Coliseum. Rav Sternbach came to America to speak at that gathering. There was another, a Rav I'm friendly with, said to me, I learned all of Rav Sternbach's Svarim, such a big Tom Chacham. I don't know how I could open up any of his Svarim anymore. Like, so that's what he thinks is important to do, to come and how can I even open up any of his Svarim? But if I'm going to start taking the Svarim of all the anti-Zionists off the shelves, our Bate Medrash are going to be bare. You know, they're... I asked one of my rabbis. I said this rabbi that I'm friendly with said, "How am I supposed to learn this from anywhere?" So I can say which rabbi. One of my rabbis said, "No, I don't have that problem. I never learned any of Shmuel's Svarim." Okay, so, but I do. I learn Shmuel's Svarim all the time. And look, the Brisker Rav was a big anti-Zionist. Also, you can't not learn the Brisker Rav. I mean, crazy. You got it. So, all right. So this is a little bit about why we still say Nachim.